This is episode 30 with the founder of the charity I Am Worth More, Luke McLean. G'day everyone and welcome to the Blokecast. I'm your host, Brendan Hardman, and each week we bring you an inspirational guest or message to help you blokes out there live a holistically healthy lifestyle. Thank you for tuning in wherever you are around the world, and let's get stuck in. Your value doesn't decrease based on someone's inability to see your worth. In this episode, I have the pleasure of sitting down over webcam, which we're actually already getting into a segue of this episode. Everyone here knows, if you haven't listened to my episodes before, then you know that I do love a good segue. First time I actually filmed an episode, and I might actually put up some footage of that, which is, it's kind of cool. I've been watching a bit of it and I love it. But I got the pleasure of sitting down with the founder of I Am Worth More, Luke McLean. Now, Luke is a great bloke, and I Am Worth More is a great charity that are doing really, really great things in the mental health space across Australia, but most importantly, their biggest impact so far is in South Australia, in Adelaide, where Luke is based, also where I am based as well. So in this episode, we discuss all manner of topics from Luke's own personal journey, which he was really, really open about, which I was really appreciative of. Some people, you know, aren't uncomfortable speaking about that, especially when he started discussing his battle with his gambling addiction, as well as his own mental health. And the journey that he's been on is just incredible. So we discussed that, as well as, you know, all of those things from there to you know, how can workplaces be more supportive of staff when it comes to mental health, which is something that Luke is kind of an expert in. He goes around and speaks to businesses and educates businesses and staff at businesses to how they can do this better, because right now we don't manage it very well. And something that is really exciting that the team at I Am Worth More are planning is happening next week in Adelaide, September the 10th. Put it in your calendar. They are attempting to break a Guinness World Record, and you can be involved. In fact, they need you to be involved. You need to be involved, and you need to get down there with as many friends as you can for people who live in Adelaide. So Luke and the team are attempting to conduct the world's largest mental health lesson, and they need your help. So head over to Facebook and check out the event. The link is also in the show notes. So you can just click on directly on that link, or you can go to their Facebook page, I Am Worth More, and it will just be sitting there in front of you saying, well, Guinness World Record attempt or something along those lines. Okay, getting on to something serious here. During the intros, people would know that I'm not the most serious person. In fact, during the whole podcast, I'm not the most serious person. However, I'm asking for your help. I need your help at the moment. I need your help to grow. And I'm asking that if you haven't got up there and you haven't left us a review yet on iTunes for the podcast, can you please go and do it? I know there's a lot of people out there that listen to this on iTunes, and I know there's a lot of people out there that enjoy this on iTunes. And I just need you to go on there, jump on, give us a rating, give us a review. The review part is the critical thing there. And it doesn't matter. Like, if you don't enjoy the podcast, then, you know, leave us some constructive criticism on how we can be better. And, you know, I'm always working on how I can do this better and how I can grow this more. But I can't grow up without the help and from this awesome audience that listens to this podcast every week, or, you know, whenever the episodes are coming up now, because they're probably going to be a week's break after this one. So I need your help. So help me grow this podcast and help me reach more people. It'll take you literally less than a minute to click over to iTunes, punch in the Blokecast, hit the review button, leave a review for us. Super simple, super easy to do. And we also have the awesome, awesome segment of the episode called Legend of the Week, which is my favorite part of the week because it's my chance to really showcase how awesome the listeners are of this podcast. And not necessarily, you know, not necessarily everyone's giving us 5-star reviews. I, well, I say not necessarily. I've got one star review and one 4-star review. Everyone else has been 5-star. That's okay. But so this week's legend of the week is the old man Limvidage. And he's given us a 5-star rating, and his review reads as follows. "So good to hear your story, Brendan. So real and so genuine. You are going to help so many people with this podcast. It's making me look inside my life at the moment and what I'm dealing with. Thank you." Now, these are the type of messages, and I actually do get a lot of these messages all the time, like over Instagram, mostly over Instagram, some over Facebook as well, but most people hit me up over Instagram. I'm probably more active on Instagram than I am on anything. So if you do want to ever want to chat, jump over to Instagram, just send me a DM. And if I see it, sometimes I do miss them, which I'm sorry. But if I do see it, I will reply to you as quickly as I can, and we can get chatting. But these types of reviews are the ones I love, because, you know, it shows that this podcast that we're running here is having an impact on people's life, which is the biggest thing for me. It's the reason I do it. I don't do it for money. I don't do it for fame or glory or anything like that. I don't, you know, to be honest, I don't really care how big the podcast gets. You know, I don't care if we don't make $1 million, yeah, like be a Joe Rogan and have $1 million, you know, a few hundred million downloads a year or whatever it is that he kicks on. He's, you know, probably the second or the one of, if not the biggest podcast in the world. What I care about is just reaching as many people as I can. And, you know, that in turn with that, you know, it'll grow. I'm confident the podcast will just grow naturally in its own kind of way. But it's these types of reviews and these types of messages that I get all the time, every week, from people that listen to the podcast, that this helps them. So if you're one of those people out there and you really feel the need to express yourself, jump onto iTunes and give us a review. I would really, really appreciate it. Okay, back to the humor, back to the larrikin that is me. Sit back, relax, you know, grab a beer, do whatever it is you want to do when you're listening to this episode. A lot of people have been telling me they've been listening to them while they've been working, or while they've been working out, or at the gym, or going for a run. So, you know, you could be out there going for a run. I mean, I don't run anymore, but good luck to you if you are. If you're in Adelaide, I feel sorry for you, because the weather is shithouse here at the moment. It's freezing cold. However, I digress. Sit back, relax, and let's get fucking stocky. All right, legends, welcome to episode 30 of the Blokecast. I'm super excited today. We have Luke McLean here, the founder of I Am Worth More. And you can go to www.iamworthmore.today to find out more about this website and about this charity that Luke is running. But Luke, mate, thank you so much for taking the time to be here with us, and really appreciate you, mate. I know you had a busy schedule at the moment, so I appreciate you jumping on and taking the time to have a chat with us.
No, I appreciate it, mate. Any conversations around this topic, obviously, I love having. So appreciate being on and love it.
Yeah, no, super excited, super excited. I had a look over your we were just talking before about going down segues, and this is already we're already about to go down a segue. I was having a look at your website before, and I was going through having a look at all the programs and stuff you're running. It just looks like a really, really well done site for firstly. So well done.
It wasn't me. So can we give plugs? Is this show sponsored?
No sponsors, mate. So if they were, I wouldn't care. So
on that, like we had the site initially done back when we first started, and it's always been done by the guys at Clever Fox Creative. So plug to them. But, and Terry, who started it, is an absolute gun, hugely passionate about the mental health space, hugely passionate about nonprofits in general, and wanted to help build a site for me, because I was just trying to build them myself. And it looked like, you should have seen my first logo, it was absolute junk.
I've seen you on my website that I'm in the process of building myself, so I get exactly what you're talking about here.
I had a logo. It was I Am Worth, like it was still obviously I Am Worth More, but the O was a plus, so like for some reason, and the plus was like it wasn't central, so it was kind of lower, and it looked it just looked horrible. So anyway, Terry cleaned it all up. Never once asked for a dollar, and not plugging her to for everyone to go to her for free work, but was hugely passionate about the cause, and yeah, a massive in-kind partner. But the site that they've just recreated looks, I mean, I love it. I absolutely love it. But,
Yeah, I'm at the point now where I've gone that far down the trail. I'm unsure if I still commit to building it myself.
Well, maybe get in touch with Terry at Clever Fox.
Yeah, we'll have to tee that up afterwards.
There you go.
Mate, let's start with I'm Worth More. So what is the charity, and how did it come about?
Yeah, sure. Well, I guess first and foremost, I guess the name is something that I don't really talk about too often, but it was one of the names that really stuck straight away. And it was very heavily focusing on always remembering that you're of value, and always remembering that, you know, when you are going through a rough patch, or when you're struggling, or whatever it may be, that you always are worth more. And there was kind of a little bits and pieces where every now and then I thought, is that sending a wrong message around that you're not enough? Yeah. And it's not. It is very much about just a positive affirmation when you may be doubting yourself, or you may be doubting your value or your worth. For me personally, it's been a pretty long journey. Certainly experienced huge bouts of depression, anxiety, with panic attacks. Addiction, and sort of battled it by myself for a long time, because I didn't want to involve people, and I just kept trying to get out of it myself and try to fix myself and cure myself and all of these things that I had no idea what on earth I was doing. And when I started to realize what I was going through, and I started to listen to some other speakers talking about their own mental health journeys, it really inspired me. It motivated me to want to be able to inspire others myself. And a long time ago, I knew that I wanted to be able to use the stories to help. But then I guess once I started sharing the story, I then realized that I wanted to be able to make more impact and be able to provide proper education. I started looking around and realized that there wasn't enough proper education or resources online for people just to learn and understand about mental health and then improve it. I thought that there's only stuff there for when you're at rock bottom or when you're struggling. And I think that's because of that, mental health is so negatively viewed, because we associate mental health with rock bottom and struggle. So yeah. I wanted to be able to create an organization that was very, very impactful in the delivery of the message that mental health is, it's just mental health. Everyone has it. We can talk about it with ease. We can understand what can make up good mental health and what can cause bad mental health or mental health issues. And I really just wanted to be able to provide a simple, raw message that people can get to then be able to take ownership on their own mental health within their life. So essentially, if that's probably not a short version of it, but that's how I'm Worth More was created, and essentially what the underlying message is of it.
Yeah, I love it, mate, and I love that you talk about in your message, because after we connected, I went did some research, listened to the videos that you have out there, those, and started consuming the content that you have out there, and I love that the message that you really provide is that it's the normality around mental health. And
yeah, absolutely.
It blows my brain so often as to why we can't. And I mean, I was a sucker for this. Well, I spent years and years suffering from depression and anxiety and those types of things. And it wasn't until I started taking ownership of my own life and realized that, hang on a second, you know, me and you can sit here. We come from two completely different, I didn't even know your background yet, but I come from a military background. So we're probably two completely different backgrounds here. We both suffer from depression, anxiety, those types of things. Mm. But our reasons behind those are so different. So we associate that with that no one else understands what we're going through.
Mm.
And we isolate ourselves, and we're the only ones that get it. When if we actually break those down, and we actually go through, me and you would sit there and we would talk about, have no, I guess, put no judgment or anything, have no don't really tell any stories about what's happened to us, not actually talking about traumas and things like that. But if we spoke about the things that we were suffering from, isolating ourselves, like having panic attacks, like, you know, those types of things that are cognizant with depression and anxiety, we're actually exactly the same.
Like, yeah.
No difference between us, even though our stories are completely different, we're actually exactly the same. And so
there's so much relatability.
Exactly.
There's so many different disorders and symptoms, but there is so much relatability. Absolutely.
I feel like it's almost, you almost feel like you're trying to expose how normal it is. Like it's almost like you're doing a bad thing. Like you almost feel like you're doing a bad thing, that you're exposing how normal it is to actually go through a bad bout of mental health.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's where I'm in the industry now, so obviously I'm surrounded by it. So I'm always talking about it, and you know, I'll probably hear a lot more stories than the average person would. But for me, it's so common. Whether it is just a mental health issue, or whether it's an actual disorder someone has that they need to learn to be able to manage. But that's where we just need to be able to understand that, as I said earlier, mental health is just something we all have. And if we leave it, I say this often, if we leave it unattended, that's when it can start to become a problem.
Yeah.
If we don't pick it up early, and we don't pick up some of the signs and symptoms of us going down and like down that spiral, because it's a continuum. So if we're kind of starting to have negative mental health, if we don't pick that up, then that's when it's obviously going to get worse and worse, and starts to become a massive problem. And then it's so much harder to be able to manage, because it's such a huge problem there.
Yeah. So the programs that you guys run there, in the mental health education and awareness programs, more like prevention programs rather than, or identification programs, rather than treatment programs as such.
Yeah, absolutely. It is very heavily focused. It's almost mental illness prevention. Like it's people with mental illness, you know, have their own different illnesses, have different treatments, have different ways to be able to manage. And I guess the programs that we're running, it is very heavily focused on some simple strategies that fit within having positive mental health. So it's being able to bring that to the light. And, you know, if you're in high school, you've got physical education, you've got PE. So basically it's just being able to have mental education and things that we can focus on within mental health, as opposed to as our physical side. So that's really what the programs are focusing on. And as you said earlier, normalizing the conversation around it.
Yeah, no. And so tell us a little bit about your background. So what led you to be in this position now, where you're leading this, leading the charge for your charity? I know you spoke before briefly about things like anxiety, depression, and addiction. So tell us a little bit about you and about your
career. Yeah, sure. I always thought that I had a pretty normal upbringing. I was pretty outgoing as a kid, always had plenty of friends, never bullied, and nothing like that. Grew up with one true passion, and that was playing Aussie rules, so playing footy.
Man.
Got to, I reckon from the age of five, if anyone asked me what I wanted to be, it was an AFL footballer, and there was never a second thought about anything else. And basically kept going through the progression and going up the ranks and broke into, I started training with a senior side at Nord in the SANFL at the age of 16, broke into the reserve side at the age of 16, 17, and was sort of ticking all the right boxes in order to get to the path where I wanted to go. Represented South Australia at the under 18 champs and had a pretty decent carnival, was pretty confident of getting picked up, but I didn't. Now going back, that's 2006.
Yep.
Back at that point, it was, this is something that I probably had in my own head, but it seemed like it was much more difficult to get picked up if you didn't at the age of 18 or 19. So when I didn't get picked up that first year as an under 18, the second year broke into the league side, which, wasn't even really proud about, because it wasn't my goal to play SANFL, it was to play AFL. Didn't get picked up that following year, and that was almost the end of my dream. And that's when I started to question everything. I started to question, well, what's my purpose? What am I going to do for the rest of my life? What am I going to do to earn money? you know, who am I and all of this stuff, and started to really doubt myself, question myself whether I was good enough, and all of those types of things. So that was probably the start of a lot of self-doubt and self-worth. But by the age of 19, I was already a full-blown gambling addict. I'd been gambling every day as long as I had money for, you know, probably since the age of 17, 18. And I never realized that it was a problem, because I was kind of surrounded by friends and people that were gambling. So it didn't seem like it was an issue at the time. I started to then have some pretty significant money issues because of the result of gambling, and started borrowing money, started being pretty deceitful, you know, ruining friendships and all of this sort of stuff. And it was just a massive cycle that I got myself caught in. I reckon a lot of anxiety started to come about because I was, you know, afraid of, well, who did I tell a lie to? Who did I borrow money from? Which bank's calling me? What's the private number calling me, asking me for money, and all of this sort of stuff. So that started to bring out a lot of worry and that anxiety within me.
Yeah.
And over the years as well, I heavily started to isolate. You mentioned the isolation before. That started to really happen, and I found myself, you know, any issues that I had with anyone, I would start to completely pull myself away, and I started to not really have any connection with friends or family. So although on the outside and on social media, I seemed like I was, you know, a happy, confident, outgoing person, deep down, I completely wasn't. And that really fucked with my own head, because I was, you know, am I this person that I'm portraying, or am I this person that I think? And then I try and convince myself that I'm this happy, positive person, but then I wasn't. So yeah, it really messed with me as well. And it just started to spiral. My ups and downs were not as noticeable because no one around me was seeing them. But when I was down, I was really down, and it sort of knock me down for, you know, a few days where I'd be completely, you know, no self-worth, no drive, no motivation. And I sort of label it as I felt really numb.
Yep.
I just didn't want to do anything. I lost passion for footy. I lost passion to go to the gym. I lost passion for, you know, seeing friends and things that I loved doing. I just had no motivation to do. And the more and more that happened, the more common it became, and the more ingrained it became in my behavior. So that sort of, to I guess speed up a little bit of that story, I sort of got to the point where I was over in Brazil. I went there for the World Cup, and I was at a point where I had a major relapse with gambling, blew out a personal loan credit card just to try and get some money for this trip.
Yeah.
It was all about image. It was all ego. I could have easily, you know, said, oh, I can't go, and no one would have cared. No one would have questioned it. But in my head, I was going, everyone will question me why I'm not going, why I can't afford to go. And then I'm going to have to tell them about the addiction and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So anyway, I end up over there, and I'm there all by myself. I was traveling alone. Once again, I'm posting these photos that I'm having a great time, and the motivation behind that is I'm trying to make people jealous and think that I'm living the dream.
Yeah.
But realistically, I'm over there feeling completely shit. And that moment, and I didn't realize this for a while, but at that moment, that was when I first felt suicidal, and I first felt that it was just, it's not that, I did feel that I was too difficult to love and too difficult to be involved in because I had so many problems. But at the same time as well, I felt that everything was just so hard. It was so hard to try and make repayments on the payments that I had. It was so hard to try and make friendships and keep them. It was so hard, you know, letting people down. It was so hard making people feel, you know, everything just seemed hard.
Yeah, definitely.
And that for me was just, you know, when I started thinking, like, you know what, I'm over here, no one will really care, no one will notice. You know, do I just end it? And that was, I guess, the start of probably truly realizing the position I was in, because I probably didn't realize how you know, how deep I was in these issues. Fortunately, I made it back to Australia. I was living in Melbourne at the time. I remember one of the first things I did when I got back was actually I went out with an organisation that I had a couple of friends working, volunteering for. And they used to go out on the streets and they would come across people living on the streets, and they would be handing out either clothes or food or toothbrush, toothpaste, socks, anything like this to people that were on the streets. And for me, it was it was an eye-opener, because I felt that I then realised I had so much to live for, and that I had so much in my life that I was probably taking for granted. And it allowed me to realise that I do have value to give, and that I can help people no matter how low that I feel. So that was, I guess, the start of the moment. Just to sort of go on that a little bit more, and it's probably the longest explanation.
No, mate. Take whatever you want, brother.
But then I guess what happened then is because I felt that I'd hit rock bottom, and I felt that I finally took ownership on some of the problems that I had in my life, because I started going to Gamblers Anonymous. So I started getting on top of my gambling. I started to talk to a counsellor about, you know, some of the depression that I was feeling. And by the way, depression was self-diagnosed for me, which is a big no-no. But I was just like, I looked through all of the symptoms and like, yep, I've got depression. All right, now that I know that, I can now find a cure.
Yeah.
So it was almost a massive problem that I did that, because then what happened is I started talking about it and talking about how I felt. But then because I'm now sharing this information with people, and people were, you know, hitting me up, you're so honest, you're so brave, you're so inspiring, so motivational, and all of this, I then felt that I needed to always be this figure. So when I then felt shit again, I was being fake, because I felt like I needed to portray this image of inspiration and motivation. And then that really sent me down the dark spiral again, because I felt like, once again, I'm not being my true self. I'm not being open. I'm not being honest. And honesty is something that I pride myself on. So when I'm not being honest, I hate myself.
Yeah, definitely.
So it sent me down this huge path again, and it was just a constant cycle. And, you know, right now I still have bouts of depression. I still, you know, I'm going through therapy to figure out whether it is depression, whether it is borderline, whether it is bipolar, and I still actually haven't figured out what it is, if it is anything. But the thing is, I'm much more open and aware of my feelings, my behaviours, and I just want to know, because I don't see any stigma attached to it now. Yeah. And I know that once I figure it out, I can manage it a lot better.
Yeah, so, definitely, mate.
How's that?
Perfect, mate. It's a great story, and you know, there's a lot of you know, like we said before, there's so many similarities and there's so many cross relating topics and stuff you can draw from listening to other people's stories and hearing how they talk about what it is they're feeling about. Then I, you know, as you were kind of going through things and talking about, you know, like looking at the symptoms and going through how can I fix these things, and then going through, like, you know, how you had the addictive personality as well as suffering from the anxiety because you were so busy, you know, trying to put on a face to everyone. It just rings it rings home to me as well. It's something that I really struggled with when I was in the military. I felt that I couldn't allow people. I thought that I was weak if I allowed people to see what was actually happening in front of me, and being in a management position, in a leadership position, and having people's lives in your hands, you feel like you can't be vulnerable around people. And so
for so
long, and it's just crazy how, you know, like, it's because what I'm trying to encourage people, that by having peer-to-peer conversations with people and being able to talk about what it is that you've gone through and have these discussions, you know, you can break down so many barriers, and it's just such a great way to understanding that, hey, you know, you're actually quite normal, and what you're suffering from is very, very normal. And so I love the fact that we can sit here and I can just tick things and go, I felt that too. And I felt this too. Yeah. And I was feeling this. And then it's just brilliant. It's a great, great way to be, mate. And so thank you for sure.
Absolutely. Thanks for listening.
Always, mate. It's the job as a podcast host. Gotta listen.
For sure. Just on that, I mean, it's something that, to be honest, I've never really been great at it. I was always in sales. So I used to think, and I was brought up with the mentality that sales was sell, 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 and you've got to talk, talk, talk. Mm. But listening is the most powerful thing. And it's something that I'm still not great at, but I'm trying to get better at it, particularly when it comes to mental health problems. A lot of people jump in and want to try and solve the problem for someone that's struggling. So they'll put their opinion on, they'll put their judgment, they'll put, you know, you should try this, you should try that, instead of just listening to how someone feels and listening to and hearing them out. Because I think one of the biggest things, it's so hard for someone that hasn't spoken about, you know, what they're going through or hasn't recognized it, and they're coming to the realization that they want to try and talk to someone, it takes so much courage to actually speak out.
Yep.
That sometimes people just shut them down before they even get it out. So listening is, you know, it seems so easy, but it can be hard with distractions, but it's something that's so important.
Oh, 100%, mate. And one thing I always say to people is when you do that, when you jump in and you cut off and you want to solve someone's issues, you do one of two things. You either give them a predisposed feeling about you in that you don't give a shit about what they're saying. You just to stop talking, or you give them a predisposed feeling about what they're actually suffering from when you actually don't, you don't know the in-depth. You've only heard 30 seconds of them having a conversation. Yeah. talking about their feelings, and then you're trying to solve what's going on in their brain. And so you're doing yourself either yourself a disrespect, or you're doing the person a disrespect either way. And there's a great I can't remember who, I think it might have been Simon Sinek maybe, or maybe one of the great kind of entrepreneurs of today's society. He said the one thing he said, always be last when you're in so this is a business setting, I guess, not a mental health setting. When you walk into a meeting, always be the last person to, if you're the one running the meeting, always be the last person to talk.
Yeah.
Never be the first person to talk, apart from, hey, you know, this is what we're going to talk about in the meeting kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Allow everyone else in the room to talk first. Because if you do that, then you actually get the true representation of what people are thinking around you and what people are going through, and this is highly relatable to mental health, and it's exactly the same what we're talking about here. But if you talk first, you're the one in control in that power position, then you give them a predisposed feeling, a predisposed, I guess, a feeling of what they should. So they're saying, okay, the boss is already thinking this, so I need to now tailor my thoughts to be able to match what he's thinking.
Sure.
You don't actually get the full creativity out of people and potential. People can't potential that they would normally be able to have. And so it's the same thing with mental health. Like if you jump in there and you're cutting off those people, I find that you're doing a disservice to that person, because you're not allowing them to express to you the full story of what they're going through. You know,
absolutely.
Not that be creative with their own thoughts.
Yeah,
what it is they're suffering from.
Absolutely.
Listening, I love it, mate. It's great. Jumping back to your, to I Am Worth More, to your charity.
Yeah.
You guys are doing something that's really exciting at the moment, and I'm definitely going to be on board. I actually need to go and purchase a ticket tonight. I'm going to do that tonight by myself. So you're doing the world's largest, or hopefully going to be doing, breaking a world record for the world's largest mental health lesson.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I certainly can. It's now it's interesting you say it's exciting, because as exciting as it is, it's stressful on my end. But it's stressful because, and this comes back to potentially having bipolar. I go through this really excited, like, mania phase of I'm on top of the world and I can do anything. So I kind of, that's where the idea came from to break the Guinness World Record, because I looked at it. I can't remember how I came across it, but I looked at it and I thought 1,500 people, like, that's nothing. I just thought we could easily just get, I don't know, 30 schools to bring 100 kids along, and all of a sudden we've got 3,000. Like, that's got to be easy, right? So anyway, we created the event, and We initially wanted to do it on World Mental Health Day, obviously a massive significance. Looked at the dates and it was during school holidays, so we brought it forward to be another truly significant day. So it's World Suicide Prevention Day, which is September 10. So less than a couple of weeks from recording today, whenever this played. But it is going to be massive because, look, we are obviously trying to get over 1,500 in attendance, whether we do or not. Obviously, it'll be a huge, success. Achievement. That's a better word because I feel it will be a success either way, because to be able to get people there, number one, when it's designed to be around a mental health lesson, it's not sexy. It's not how to make $1 million in 3 days. It's a mental health lesson. So in order to be able to get loads of people into one room to be able to do this, I think is a huge success either way. But basically what we're attempting to do is fill the Netball Stadium at Priceline Stadium. I think it's about 3,200 there. Let's fill it all up. Basically, we want to provide, it's a 30-minute lesson to meet the criteria of the Guinness World Records. The lesson is all about destigmatizing the actual attachment of stigma with mental health. It's talking about basically the keys that we want to provide in this lesson is if you're struggling, how you can get help, but then also if you see someone struggling around you, how you can actually approach them to have a conversation and get them the support and the help that they may require.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think if we can keep it as simple as that, if we can keep the understanding and the education simple so we're not overloading, then it can truly be pretty impactful. So the record was set last year by, I think it was the New South Wales Education Department of 1,500. And we're tracking along okay. We need a bit of a boost, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see how many people attend. But I think, yeah, huge success either way and get people talking about it. And on a significant day like World Suicide Prevention Day, which is it's a topic that we don't talk about enough because it is hard to talk about. But really, we need to be able to improve mental health because mental health issues and, you know, people that are really struggling with them is essentially, you know, it's the largest cause of death in Australians between the age of 18 and 44. Like, that is ridiculous.
Yeah, definitely.
That's why the event, we're doing it. So, yeah, we've got that 30-minute lesson plus myself and another awesome speaker from Melbourne, Matt Runnels, who runs Mindful Oz. So he runs a lot of programs in primary schools in particular, talking about well-being and improving mental health for a lot of young kids. It does stuff with adults and all sorts of stuff as well. So we'll be speaking, and then we've got a bit of a Q&A panel to finish it off. So it should be a really, really good event and, hopefully really successful.
All right. Like you say, though, I think it's whether you break the record or not, just having, you know, one person in the room that you can speak to is a success in my eyes. So,
yeah. Yeah. It's a really good point. And I actually learnt this kind of phrase and took this across from when I met Matt Runnels. But, you know, it was a focus. When I first started speaking and sharing, it was very much about, well, if I can help that one person. And I hear that from every single person that speaks within this industry. Mm. That's how people start, because they just want to be able to help one person. It's kind of evolved from that to now be, I want to be able to impact every single person that's in the room, yeah, even if it is just that small bit. And that's where it really is being able to be relatable, engaging and powerful enough to be able to get that one person to go, right, I'm going to talk about how I was feeling. Or it might be, right, I'm just going to start practicing that one strategy that I learned. Or that one bit of information, it's just something. And if everyone can take something, then that's when it starts to spiral and I guess branch out to their networks and community. And realistically, I mean, mental health issues are huge within Australia. Yeah. And unless we all take ownership on that and we all understand that it's not going to, don't leave it to someone else. We all need to be able to understand that and understand how we can help improve it.
So, yeah. And then I I had a point there, and I'm trying to remember what I was going to say.
Had a point. What was it? Let's just rewind and you get the point.
Yeah, exactly. Can we rewind on this?
Rewind your brain, if only.
Yeah, if only, mate. It's all right. I can come back to it if we find it. So for you, why is it so important to break down the mental health barriers that surround, or the barriers that I guess surround mental health in today's society? Why is that so important to you?
Because if we don't, it just, people don't get the help. And if you get, like, I look back on, and I don't have regrets, although I've had a lot of things in my life that I'm certainly not proud of. And you know, those experiences have basically made me who I am. But basically, I just wish I didn't have to go through as much pain as what I went through. Yeah. And if my signs, you know, if someone had have noticed my signs, and surely they would have, surely, because I was having sickies all the time. So if my bosses, you know, had have picked up on that, or not picked up on it, they obviously were aware of it. But if they had have been able to pull me aside and say, you know what, Luke, I'm a bit concerned that you've been having a lot of time off. I just want to have a talk to you. And they were trained in order to be able to understand what they can say to me and where I could potentially get help. That could have saved me a lot of pain.
Yeah.
You know, I'm at a point where, you know, I've had suicidal thoughts on four or five occasions. Those could have turned into me not being here. So if my signs had have been picked up earlier from either myself or from someone that can actually, that is trained to be able to have that conversation with me, perhaps I would have got help a lot sooner and I wouldn't have gone through, you know, as much pain as what I did, and I would have been able to manage it a lot better, because I find it so difficult to be able to manage my mental health now. Although, yeah, you know, it's all I talk about, it's all I research, it's all I listen to in podcasts and these sorts of things. It's very, very difficult because I've got so many negative behaviors ingrained into me. So that's why I think if we can remove barriers around mental health and remove that stigma, that's where younger people are more open to talking about how they're feeling. They're more open to talking about if they're struggling, and they can get help much, much sooner. So that's, I mean, for me, that's why it's just so important that we understand it and we talk about it.
No, yeah. I wholeheartedly agree. I think the fact that there's still a stigma that surrounds this is just, it's becoming almost crazy. You know, it's in my eyes is that the more information that is being pushed out these days about mental health, and in the past 2 years, I reckon there's been more information pushed out than in the past 50.
Yeah. Combined. Yeah.
It's starting to work, and still there's not enough. There's, like you were saying earlier before, like when you first started struggling, you're trying to find out what was going on. Like, there's just not enough. Actually, I think we might've been talking about that off air, but there's just not enough. There's not enough information out there. And I had the same.
Yeah.
You know, same thing when I kind of started doing this, and even when I was suffering depression, trying to find out, you know, how I can make myself better. Like, they're all so deep in the backwaters of websites to try and find accessible information. You know, when it could be just something there. It says, hey, take a holistic approach to your life. Look at your fitness. Look at your health. Look at your relationships. Look at your money. Look at your spending habits. If you're addicted, look at those types of things in this actionable right in front of you. And then you're going to start applying those to your life.
Yeah, definitely.
Actually, a good segue, because I just remember what I did was thinking before. Is that, so this rolls straight into it, is that I love the fact that, your approach before about expanding it from just reaching one person in the room to then trying to someone and everyone in the room can take something away from it, because that's how I kind of feel like, like we said before, I think we have a lot alike and we're aligned in the same ways. Cause that's how I kind of feel with the podcast. Is my whole reason behind that was not so, I wanted to be able to reach more people. I wanted to be able to, speak to more people on a weekly, on a regular basis. But I also just wanted people to understand that, you know, just to have a listen, and to take something away from this, so that if they, down the track, if they happen to be going through something bad, this podcast might pop into their brain. And it might be something Luke said in episode 30 of the podcast, and he said, oh, you know, shit, I should be doing this. And it all of a sudden pops into his brain or into their brain, and they think about it and they're like, all right, I can use this tactic that I've got here to help me on today's basis. And that's kind of why I do this. And bring guests on like yourself and like everyone else that comes on here is so they can have these conversations and get all these different point of views so that people can, you know, they can take what they like, and they can, you know, if something doesn't, you know, if it doesn't apply to them or it doesn't resonate with them, that's okay. You know, like you don't need to listen to that episode.
Yeah.
Listen to a different episode.
For sure.
But yeah. So I just really love what you're doing, man. I really love what you're doing with I'm Worth More and then just
appreciate it.
Expanding this message. It's just really good.
Yeah. So, appreciate it. I think just on that as well, yeah, I think with, you know, with mental health problems, there's so many different causes and factors as to what brings it about for people that it's not, you know, there isn't one solution. There isn't one, you know, one thing to be able to help. So that's where it's, you know, trying to get as many different supports as possible. And it is difficult because it's a lot more complex and harder than just saying, oh, you know, when you're feeling like that, just speak up. Because when I feel shit, I don't want to go tell someone that, oh, hey, I'm feeling like this. So it is difficult and understanding that, but it is really about trying to just manage the best possible. I mentioned earlier that I was always looking for a cure or for a fix, and I'd 100% realize now that that's not it. It is being able to manage the best possible. And coming back to, I guess, you know, what you're saying about to take one tip, if there is one thing, it is practice mindfulness. And
yes, I'm with you. Like,
it is just, and I still find it difficult sometimes myself to be able to do it, but it's just, it can help, you know, it's proven to reduce anxiety. It's proven to reduce depression. Like a lot of people know this, but yet not many people actually practice it regularly. And I mean, you talk about being aware of, you know, any addictions or being aware of, you know, how fulfilled you are in all aspects of life. That's one way that you're able to practice that by being present. And that's the one thing that for me is just super impactful and just helps massively. And it's something that I wish every young kid learned, and it just became a natural, consistent thing that they implement into their lives.
Yeah. I wholeheartedly agree. I always say to people, you meditate 3 times a week, it'll change your life as a minimum.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you do that for 3 times a week as a minimum and you don't do anything else, like it'll change your life.
You know what? It could just be, sorry to interrupt.
Oh, you go, mate. There you go.
But I feel like meditate, like people just view that as like this spiritual, I'm not going to meditate. Like I'm not going to sit there with my legs crossed.
I used to do that. Yeah. I used to do the same thing. I was like, fuck that shit. I'm doing.
It's like, that's not for me, or I can't do it. But it's, and I mean, even mindfulness is now starting to creep into that, but it's purely just how about we just be present for 5 minutes a day. Like imagine that, just be present.
Yes. Or sit down at the end of your day, every day, and take 5 minutes just to think of what went really well that day and what went really bad that day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Actually write that down and journal that in front of yourself.
Yeah.
And then walk away and then come back 30 minutes later and read the things that pissed you off.
Mm-hmm.
They won't piss you off as much as they did.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, it's a good little tactic, good little skill.
For sure.
What do you think, because I know you work a lot with workplaces and corporate businesses and those types of things. So what can workplaces do better to really manage their mental health? Because it seems to me like it's still almost a taboo topic within most corporations, not all corporations, there's some out there that do it really, really well.
For sure.
Majority, I think, still struggle with it. So what have you kind of come across some findings or some I guess some things that you guys have thought of in the work that you do that workplaces can do a bit better?
For sure. And I think it starts at the top. So it really does start with the leaders in the business, whether that's CEO or whoever it may be, but it starts at the top. And it starts with the mentality of understanding how important well-being is to a productive employee. I mean, everyone kind of knows that, but we place so much emphasis on, you know, staff's, well, basically turnover and revenue, that we sometimes forget that we just need to focus on making sure that the employees are happy and healthy. You know, I think I think within our conversations, because early on we were running awareness sessions, and what it was doing was bringing up a lot of, a lot more people talking about their mental health within the workplaces. But then it was kind of like, because there was so much talk and so much awareness, and this is kind of a general rule within society now, that because awareness is, you know, so prevalent and it's everywhere, there's so many people that don't know what to then do. So what we're finding in the businesses and the workplaces is that it was great that they were starting a conversation and talking about it more, but then we found that there were so many businesses that had no idea then what to actually do when people were talking about it. So I guess one thing that then we started going on to was the mental health first aid training, no different to your just physical first aid training and having a first aid officer within a workplace, but basically just having someone that's actually trained in being able to look for symptoms, but then also be able to help people, whether they're in a, they just notice signs and symptoms of, say, depression or an anxiety disorder, but then also going to the full extent of someone that may be in a suicidal state.
Is this almost like a peer counselor kind of role, like a peer support worker?
Yeah, you can start to have, I guess, just a mental health first aid accredited person within the workplace. That's almost that go to person, and they don't, you don't need counseling degrees or anything like this. It's going back to it, essentially listening, but also understanding how to approach the person that you notice the symptoms in. Because that can be the hardest thing. A lot of people can see what's going on, but we don't know how to then go and start that conversation. So it's just being able to understand and identify those types of things.
Yeah.
But also, I guess, going to the full side of what businesses can be doing, and sort of going back to that emphasis on I guess the full well-being in general, is understanding that it does need to be a very open, vulnerable relationship the whole way through. I've found a lot of businesses have come to us and wanting to run sessions for their management so that their management then know how to deal with, the staff that they're managing. But I just feel it's a full approach, because what we've then found is that the management might get the help, but then the employees don't have the confidence, or they don't have the relatability or the trust to be able to then go and openly talk. So it kind of, once again, starts at the top, being able to be extremely vulnerable and open as a whole, and I guess peer to peer as well. Implementing more things focused on well-being. So a lot of businesses that we've been in have started to run, and this is not volunteering for us, but to start to run volunteer days where they're still paid, but they're then encouraged to go volunteer and give back. Programs like that, focusing on, I guess, more productivity and performance-based times, as opposed to having set hours that they need to work, all those types of things. All of these things can benefit and turn into, I guess, productive employees.
No, I love it, mate.
The only other one a couple have started to implement is, we spoke quickly about the mindfulness. Like, there's businesses and actually schools. There's a school that I met with this week or last week, and they've implemented into their morning classes that they're running through and doing a 2-minute mindfulness meditation before they start their day, and just these little types of things, because sometimes it's the HR manager or the team manager or the owner or whoever coming to us and going, can you come in and speak to our staff, but then they're not taking anything on themselves or doing the things themselves. And once there's complete buy-in, that you just get a lot more effort, I guess, from everyone. Yeah.
Definitely, mate. Definitely. If I'm going to flip this question on its head, because I was going to I was going to ask you, if someone came to you with some advice about dealing with mental health, but I feel like we've kind of covered that quite a bit in this episode. So I'm going to flip this around. If someone came up to you and asked for some advice about how to approach someone who they thought was suffering from suffering with their mental health, or they knew suffering with their mental health, what advice do you think you'd be able to
All right. So a lot of the time we go to that person and we go up to them and we say, you know, I think you should do this or you should do that, or you've got to stop this or stop that. And what we don't realize is that that type of language can therefore, you know, set that person off, or it can shut them down. And it can be really, really detrimental to their health, because we're putting on, you know, I'm not happy with what you're doing. You're doing this. So basically what we just need to be able to do is be able to find a way to approach the person that we feel is struggling. And we need to be able to essentially turn it into how we feel, but not attacking them. So it's got to be completely without judgment. And we just need to be able to make a statement like, you know, I'm feeling concerned or I'm feeling worried. You know, so then we're kind of saying that this is affecting me, you know, because I've noticed this or I've noticed that. So it might be that you've noticed that they haven't been turning up to, you know, footy training, or they haven't been turning up to the gym, or, you know, they haven't been getting back to your calls or messages or whatever. So, you know, I'm feeling concerned that I haven't seen you, you know, at the gym for the past month. Can we talk? And just something simple. It's a simple approach to then be able to, for them to go, yeah, you know, sure. It's not an attack. It's not a judgment. And it's just a simple way to be able to. Now, sometimes you're going to get no, and you've got to be prepared for that. And you've got to be prepared that they're not willing to or wanting to talk. But it's just a simple approach like that can help. And then really just being able to let them sort of open up about how they're feeling. And once again, without judging and without, I guess, any attack on them or without our opinion, it's just being able to let them express how they're feeling.
Yeah. I love that, especially the focus on, you know, the focus on no judgment and listening. And we, I think we touched on it earlier as well. Like, you don't need to be able to solve someone's issues. Like, you're not a main professional, you're not a doctor and those types of things. You just need to be a gateway.
That's quite
the way I always see it, is that you just need to be a gateway for them to be able to
100%
listen, and then you be able to say, okay, well, have you thought about seeing someone? Or have you thought about
100%?
What if I came with you to an appointment or something along those lines? You know, be that support. Yeah. You don't need to be the one that fixes their issues.
Because
like you said before, most of the times you can't fix it. Most times it's about living and about management. I have depressive bouts all the time. And I'm not medicated anymore. So I'm kind of at the point where I've worked hard enough to be able to deal with have the skills in my head to be able to deal with what's going on in my brain. But I still suffer from depression all the time.
Yeah.
Like, I still have days where I'm trying to get out of bed and my wife's like, are you okay? And I'm like, I just can't be fucking getting out of bed, you know? Like, It's tough. It's
for sure.
But you learn to manage those things over time. And you know, the other I guess the point there that resonated with me with what you said then was the language, and how important it is that we understand the language that both that we use to other people and what we actually say to ourselves, how much impact that actually has on you. Like it's just huge. And so leading with that language about, you know, not using those terms or understand using, or even yourself, understand your head. I used to say to myself that I'm sick all the time. Like, I'm sick. I'm, you know, like I'm fucked in the head and all this other kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And in the end, I didn't realize until I did the learnings I needed to do, all the hard work I did with my psych, that I realized the actual impact that those words were actually having on myself, and the fact that I was so quick to, you know, as soon as something was wrong, it's because I'm fucked in the head. It's because you know, I'm so quick to label myself with those types of things. And people might think that it might be, you know, a bit fluffy duffy and PC and all that kind of stuff. But it's a serious thing. Like, you, when you start to learn, and that language that you use is so impactful on yourself and on those around you. Like it actually starts to, you start to understand it, and you actually start to see it. Like, I see it all the time now, like on social and stuff like that. And, you know, and like you, I deal in this space quite a bit, probably not as heavily as you do, because, you know, I'm not out there on the road every week. You know, I'm a bit, I guess, detached by the podcast. So that's by design at the moment as well. And so it's, So I wouldn't see as much as you, but I still see, like, you know, you can see people on the comments, like, you know, whether you're a part of men's group, whether you're part of just on just commenting on my stuff or just on regular stuff, you can see the language they're using against themselves. It's it makes me feel sad.
Yeah.
When I see it.
Yeah. For sure.
Mate, big question here. How can people get in contact with you if they want to reach out, support, to support the charity or just to get in touch with you? Like,
yeah.
How can they do that?
Just, yeah, through the site, mate, really. I mean, through socials as well. I don't personally use my own socials anywhere near as much as what I used to anymore. And that's just really because I'm probably more content with my life. I don't need the justification of doing it. But, yeah, if anyone wants to reach out to me or to I Am Worth More, obviously through the website, iamworthmore.today, through our Facebook, through our Instagram, they're the three main ways. Obviously, anyone that wants to support the charity, effectively, we've got the education programs and then community programs that we do run. Basically, for every $2,000 that we do raise, we do a session which is either a four-week program in a school, or we go and do a community program where we can do that in regional areas, anywhere around the country, really. So that's kind of what our donations go towards. They go directly into the education and awareness programs. We don't have employees. We don't have, admin costs or anything like that. So it's 100% of what's going in is going straight into the program. So I guess that's something that the more that we generate, I learned about 12 months ago, don't call it a charity, call it a profit for purpose. And the more profit we have, the more purpose we can deliver. So yeah, essentially anything that goes in goes straight towards those programs. I've had, if anyone is, in any area that wants us to do programs within any areas, I mean, we can have businesses, fund school programs. We can, however they want to do it. So
yeah,
that's all of that. What else was I going to say? I forgot. I said contact. Yeah. So if anyone, the one thing that we really want to be able to work on is, at the moment, I mean, we've got a bit of support through the site and stuff, but anyone that, like, I hate the throwaway lines of, if you're struggling, call Lifeline or Beyond Blue. Absolutely. Yep. If you really, really need to, obviously call them. But there are so many supports out there that can help anyone with anything.
Yeah.
So, if you don't know where to go or don't know who to talk to, feel free to flick us through a message or an email and, we can have a chat and point in the right direction. It's very much what I wanted to create within I Am Worth More, is not necessarily having all of the answers, but I like to think of it as we can be a gateway to be able to get people help. So we can start the conversation and strike up, a bit of that inspiration to actually go, yeah, I want to improve my mental health, or yes, I do need help. So if anyone needs a bit of guidance as to who to speak to, where to go, or what you can work on because you've got an issue or whatever, feel free to reach out in any way, and we'll do the best we can to help.
Nah, awesome. And we'll make sure that all the contact details are in the show notes, as well as the socials, the social, like, handles, I guess they call them these days. I'm too old.
Yeah.
Too old fashioned.
Something like that.
Yeah, something on those lines. So they'll be in there as well. They'll all be in the show notes. So if you want to see those, just click through and you can click the link and take you straight to there, to the contact page. Last question. And
right.
love this question because it's always a
burly one.
Never tell anyone. Although if you go back, I ask it on every episode. So if you listen, everyone would know that I ask this question. But what does being a healthy bloke mean to you?
Ooh, a healthy bloke.
Yeah.
A healthy bloke. It's a good question. It shouldn't be so difficult to answer, should it? I guess healthy is just being the best version of yourself you can. I guess that's what it would mean to me, is, focusing on what you can control and doing it to the best of your ability. And sometimes that might not be a high level because you don't have a huge amount of level to give. But yeah, just focusing on giving the best you can and being the best version of yourself you possibly can at any time. I would say.
Love it. Being comfortable in your own skin.
Yes, of course.
Love it, mate. Love it. Mate, thank you so much for this. I really appreciate it. We're going to do our best. This will come out for those listening. This will be, what's the date today?
The 30th of 30th. The 8th.
So it is Friday the 30th at the moment. This will be out next Thursday.
Sweet.
On the air so people can listen. And we're also going to push this on our socials. So we'll push the page for the mental health lesson.
Yes.
Challenge. Try and get that out there and we'll do our best to you may not get many people, but it might be one or two extra.
Millions. We need a bigger stadium.
Don't know about that. I've seen my show. That's all good, mate.
I appreciate it, mate. Thank you very much.
You too, mate. And we'll catch up soon. I'm sure we're gonna do more together in the future, and we'll have to get you back on soon. Well,
absolutely.
Everything went
awesome. Thank you very much, mate. Appreciate it.
All right, that episode was awesome. Luke is a legend of a bloke, and if you live in Adelaide, or if you just want to support, you know, the event that is going on, head over to Facebook, jump onto I Am Worth More in Facebook, or head to the show notes and click on the links there, and you'll get the links to his event, which they are attempting to break a Guinness World Record. They need 1,500, from memory it was in the episode, 1,500 people to rock up to this event, and they're on their way to getting there, but they need your help. If you can't attend, at least share the event. Get someone out there who can attend. As I said in the beginning of the podcast, in my serious moment of the podcast, I need your help. I really do. I need you to jump on iTunes if you haven't already done it and you listen to this on iTunes. If you enjoy the podcast, then just jump on, give us a rating, and give us a review. Review being the key word there. It's so important and it helps us grow so much, and I really need your help. I can't really say it much simpler than that. It'll take you 2 minutes to do, and it'll really help me out in my attempt to grow this podcast as big as I can to reach as many people as I can. Okay, thank you all again for tuning in. Unsure if we have a podcast next week at the moment. We'll see how we go with time. We do have I've got a solo episode already banked away in the bank that I can chuck up at any time, but I might hold that one, see how we go. However, I hope you have a great week. I hope you have a great, whatever you're doing, until we catch up next. And you know what? We'll catch you in the next episode. Cheers.